you are listening to All Things Reconsidered, and this is Bruce Burke, and I'd like to welcome you back to our program after a whole doggone week of not being on the air. And one of the first things that I'd like to do is to just welcome you back, but I want to take care of a couple of little small items that you know, we always have to do in our, the front part of our program. Actually, we are now being remotely produced out of West, by God, Virginia, and my friend Bob Kincaid there, who has a wonderful radio program that if you don't know about it, you need to know about it. Excuse me. He is on every weeknight, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 10, and that is headonradio.com. That's headonradio.com. You can also go to whiterosesociety.org and click on Head On with Bob Kincaid. And that'll get you to his stream, and he's on the air 7 to 10. But he is now remotely producing All Things Reconsidered out of his studio. And thank you so much, Bob, for doing that. And also, we are being archived, and the stream that you're listening to is provided by White Rose Society. Ben Birch doing that for us out of Illinois. So thank you, Ben, for doing that. And Ben is now having a fundraising drive, so I strongly encourage you to, if you appreciate some of the programming that is on White Rose Society, do try to drop a dime for him, not on him. Also, you know, here at All Things Reconsidered and at Fourth Estate Radio, we are undergoing a fundraising drive of our own at this point. We don't want to stomp on Ben because Ben does great work, and we really want him to get as much as he can to help support what he is doing. But also here on All Things Reconsidered and the other program that I do with John Fox called Fourth Estate Radio, we are doing a fundraising drive to try to create better stability in the streaming that we're doing and in the production that we're doing, and trying to take this to the next level. Now, you know, in the past, and those of you who have listened to this program know that basically I'm doing this program sort of on the fly and you know, trying to bring you quality programming and quality talk radio on a Pinto budget. Cadillac programming on a Pinto budget. but what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a radio network, and this is the first step of that. We are now being remotely produced out of West Virginia through the studios of Head On Radio Network. And you actually, if you want to get a sneak peek at our site, you can do that at our new radio network website by going to headonradionetwork.com. Check it out. It's kind of we're in the building stages. So just, you know, pardon the construction mess as you peek through the window. All right. So please do try to if you'd like to give us a donation, we really would appreciate it, because we're trying to build something that's going to be a little bit different than what's out there presently. Hopefully to bring you a voice of the people as we have in the past. Let's see. We're also chatting in the Tom Hartman chat room. If you'd like to come into the Tom Hartman chat room, you know, I really think you're going to like it there, because there are people there who have points of view on virtually everything that you can think of, and so it's pretty cool. They have a lot of neat stuff going on there. You can hear everything from 9/11 related material to herbs that, you know, to people talk, not just the kinds that are illegal, but the kinds that actually help you, to herbs, to you name it, it's there. So do check that out. You can get to that chat room by going to tomhartman.com. That's THOM Hartman with two N's .com, THOM Hartman with two N's .com, and click live chat, and it'll get you right in the chat room. A little small registration there, but it's not a big deal, and it'll get you right in there. Now, wanted to also let you know that tonight is our 30th program. Tonight is our 30th radio program, and I want to celebrate this by going, woohoo! Okay, there, I'm done. 30th radio program for All Things Reconsidered. Now, I want to tell you a little story, and I'm going to have a little guy on. I'm going to have a friend of mine on in a little while, who has an announcement to make. And he was one of the first people that kind of pushed me to do this, and I count him as one of my friends. But we're going to have him on the show in a little while. He's going to give a pretty major announcement that I think is it's a big deal, and we're going to try to, you know, we're going to find out exactly what that's all about. But when he does that, I just, you know, I wanted to, you know, make it very clear that, you know, 30 episodes ago, that's more than half a year, 30 episodes ago, we started this program sort of on the fly, and the idea was that we were going to create a program that was going to be an audio blog, just to be able to get activists on the air, to do various interviews, to do various talking about some of the things that they're doing in their lives, and, you know, and it has sort of evolved, and it really has evolved into something very different than what we had originally intended for it to be. But I think it's a real positive development, an extremely positive development. So, you know, once we get to that, part of the program, we'll have him on, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I also, you know, just to give you a heads up on some of the things that we're doing, you know, when I talked about the radio network, you know, I really want to make it very clear that we are actively seeking, you know, other radio hosts to come on board with us, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised as time goes on at the level of professionalism that we're going to be putting into this program, as well as Fourth Estate Radio, and as well as all the other programming that we're going to be having. So, you know, I would say it's just a little bit of a sneak peek there. You know, if you want to know what's going on, that's what's happening in the world of All Things Reconsidered in Bruce Birch. And this week I have been working like a dog, one of my heroes, Frank Zappa, would say, arf, arf. I've been working like a dog to try to get this thing off the ground. And it looks like it's going to really happen. So, we're going with it. All right, and my friend Keith Lake is in the chat room, who is also live streaming via the Last Radio Station, and you can get there by going, just Google the Last Radio Station, and you'll pick him up. You can go straight to that website, and you can also stream All Things Reconsidered from that place. He is in Greenville, North Carolina, so thank you, Keith, for doing that, and definitely want to give you a shout out because you're doing a great job there too. All right, we're at about 8 minutes after the hour. That took a little while to do all those announcements tonight. we have a number of stories tonight that we're going to be pulling, but the first one I wanted to talk about is I wanted to talk a little bit to lead into our next segment, and that is that there really seems to be this huge movement, and I want it because it is large. It's a huge movement of concerted effort on the left side, or at least the around the center, maybe a little bit to the right, maybe a little bit to the left, of Democrats who are veterans who are running for Congress. Now, at last count, we talked about this when this phenomenon started way back when last year. I'm going to say around September, October. You know, Paul Hackett got into the deal, and there was a special election, and he was not elected. But what we're seeing is that these number of Democrats who are running as veterans for Congress, et cetera, is increasingly growing. And I think it's up to where it was at one time, around like 10 to 12, 13, is now up to about 55. And they're the fighting Dems. Yeah, they're the fighting Dems. But I'm going to express a concern about this. And maybe if you want to call into the show a little bit later on and we can talk about it some, I'd love to talk with you about it. My concern with this is that these fighting Dems, as they're being called, there's a propensity there. Possibly. I'm not going to say that there absolutely is, but there possibly is a propensity there for these folks to want to take orders first, perhaps, and not question some of the decisions that are being made. And I'm playing devil's advocate on this situation tonight, because I think it's while on the one hand, veterans have direct life experience with dealing with being in a war and having to deal with military and having to deal, you know, and knowing what it takes to run the military. That's great, but do they have, you know, are they going to be able to question the president when the president says, you know, if you're against this war, you're against patriotism? Are they going to be able to question the president when the president says, you know, if you're against this war, you're not supporting the troops? You know, and I think that's a very legitimate question, you know, primarily because part of the reason why, you know, there was this drumbeat to war for Saddam and you know, are these guys going to stand their ground for America, or are they going to stand their ground for the men and women that they feel a kinship with because they're veterans? I mean, you know, and that's fine. I think you can do both. That's my belief, is that if you are really supporting the troops, then perhaps, just perhaps, you're supporting, you know, the aims of trying to have a defense army rather than an aggressive army. Because I don't know that those guys in the Army right now, having spoken with a number of veterans who have come back, are necessarily all that happy with a lot of the things that have happened that put them in Iraq to begin with. Well, we're going to talk about that once we come back after our break. If you want to check out the Band of Brothers website, and that is the site that sort of lists all of the veterans that are running for Congress, you can do that by going to bandofbrothers2006.com, I believe it is. I'll check it out and let you know after the break. But if you want to get on the program, a little bit later on, you can call us at 1-877-44. Gosh, I can't remember the number now. It's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON is the number. It's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and you can get in on the program by doing that. You can also send me an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And get in on the program in that way. But you know, I do think that this is one of those things where we need to really sort of be careful about what we're asking for. Yes, it's bandofbrothers2006.org, as I'm being told in the chat room. So thank you, Steady, for that. Now, the telephone number is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-443-2366. Now, I really, you know, again, I want to be very clear about the fact that I'm not saying that I'm against these guys. What I am saying is that I feel that we need to really examine what our motives are here. You know, does the Democratic Party have to have a veteran to win in the Congress? Is that what we've resorted to? Is that the ultimate electable candidate is someone who is a veteran? Or is it that a veteran is harder to criticize because of the patriotic atmosphere of where the war is at this point? Time will tell. My name is Bruce Birch. You listen to All Things Reconsidered. We'll be right back. I want to jam it with you. We're jamming, jamming. And I hope you like jamming too. There are rules, they don't vow. We can do it anyhow. I and I will see you through. Because every day.
Fourth Estate Radio. Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Head on.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin. No falafel, no Oxycontin, just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day, head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night, headonradio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
Little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
All right, you're back with Beck with All Things Reconsidered, and this is Bruce Birch, and we are now into our second segment on our 30th show, and we have with us on the line a very good friend of mine from Ojai, California, and this is Mr. Michael Stettler. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Bruce. Good. I've really been looking forward to tonight.
Well, I have too. I understand you have a quite a large announcement to make tonight.
Yeah, it's really hard to kind of keep a secret when it's regarding me because I always kind of let people know where I'm coming from, whether it's good or bad. But, you know, the Alito nomination was really the straw that broke the camel's back. I've been involved with a lot of political work and community service, and, you know, I joined the military. I've done a lot of different things involving people and our nation, and this Alito nomination, the ability of Congress just to rubber stamp the Alito nomination, and good night, Miss Myrtle, that's terrible, and to get it through the Congress, and for Congress not to actually, you know, pull the filibuster, you know, what else are you going to use the filibuster for? This was it. So this broke the camel's back, and I actually, filed for candidacy over the Alito nomination weekend and treaded the waters, if you will.
Sure.
To see if I could do the work that would be involved and get some support from the civic organizations around here, and I actually secured unofficially a tremendous amount of support, which has allowed me to go ahead and submit the filing fee, and I am in this race. I was the last one out of the box. And, January 27th was already a full month behind the period that you could start organizing and gathering signatures. And I'm the first one into the desk at the elections office with their filing fee in, so 99.99 on all the other three candidates. don't underestimate me because this campaign is for real and it's picking up steam.
Fantastic. So you filed to run for Congress. Now, which district is this?
This is the 24th congressional district in California.
So the California 24th congressional district. Who are you running up? Who is the incumbent there?
The incumbent is Elton Gallagher. He is a 20-plus year Republican. He sits on the Judicial Committee, and he actually sat in judgment of Bill Clinton, you know, when the Mike Kenneth Starr and the Monica Lewinsky thing was going on.
Okay.
And early last year, we had, with MoveOn.org, we went in the Tom DeLay thing when it was first becoming apparent, you know, everybody, Congress should move on without delay. And we went up there and expressing our disgust and dismay with the campaign finance and all this stuff. And I was one of four people who actually got to go in and sit down with Congressman Gallagher while probably 45 people became more and more, you know, uneasy as they sat outside the office as we discussed the position of Mr. Gallagher with supporting the Tom DeLay thing. And he said, he'll get his day in court.
Right, sure.
That was the line.
He'll get his day in court. Huh? So is this incumbent a Republican or a Democrat?
Yes, he's a Republican. I would up against the Dems unless he was somebody really shady.
Okay. And how long has he been in office?
He's been in excess of 20 years. He is senior member on the Judicial Committee, and I'm on the phone, Ms. Merle. Pardon me. Okay. His tenure in as a congressional, you know, heavy. When you get over the 20-year mark, you're entrenched. You have ties, and those type of ties and networks inside of the Republican Party and as well as Congress itself. We've got to break that stuff. This stuff has got to change. We need a complete regime change at home.
Yes.
We got to break this stuff down and reestablish some type of general welfare constituency inside our legislative bodies.
Well, okay. So tell me about some of your policy statements. Have you had a chance to work on and develop any positions on any of the issues that seem to be important to everyone?
My policy statement kind of reads more like a general quarters, if you will.
Okay.
The time for discussing this stuff is always right here. But as far as emergency measures that need to be in to secure pensions, you know, the first point on issues: get out of Iraq, stay out of Iran, secure pensions, and keep hospitals open. It's that type of threat. It's that clear and present right now. You know, you start putting these pressures on people with the hospitals closing and then their money running out and a war danger going on. I just saw now that we're, you know, in UEI, United Emirates. I got that backwards, but you know they're buying American ports,
right?
Or a port there in the Persian Gulf and in the United States, and I don't even have all the details on that, but that's the type of thing where you have the tensions, the strategy of tensions internationally on one little thing like the Lusitania, you know, the sinking of the Lusitania, and that led to World War One. You have those type of tensions that are it's coming to a head right now, man. Cheney's going down. You see, this guy is out.
Yeah, and he's pretty much marginalized himself.
Hallelujah, man.
Well, you know, as I said
for a long time, dude.
Yeah.
And when I said the universe is about to assert reality on these people, I had absolutely no idea how it was going to come, but it did. And I'm not laughing at the guy, but you know what? A big FU to Cheney. He's been jacking people over for a very long time and using the powers of our government to do that. And the guy needs, I'm just, you know what, it's a really good day. We better enjoy this for a week. And if you look on my website, a picture's worth a thousand words, so I'm not going to be doing much typing. I'm going to be posting up some of those pictures and let the paparazzi tell the story for me.
Right on. Well, let me ask you this, Daddy, or Mike, you prefer Michael or Mike?
Any or steady on the net, as long as we're with all our cyber pals. I've been steady since Stettler was my name, really.
I hear you. what is your opinion on the situation with undocumented immigration in the country now?
Okay.
I know you're in California, and I know that's been a big hot button topic there. And you know, what do you think is a solution?
You've got a really multifaceted, dynamic situation there. Let's just take the people who were probably in the news most prominently at this time, and that's the Minutemen. These guys are disgusted with the sea of immigrants coming across their properties and taking the local jobs and all that stuff. So that's who the Minutemen are. I think generally they're just a body of people who have just been fed up with the inept responses of our government, and it's not just the Bush thing. It's been going on for decades. And it is actually a policy of those who are in power in the United States to dilute the workforce in the United States. I have nothing against the people who are coming here from the United States other than, you know, they're doing it dishonestly, but can you blame them? The economic pressures in their nation are, you know, worse. That type of stuff is coming here. So on the immigration, you know, my parents are both green card carrying European immigrants from, you know, Switzerland and Germany, who fled Europe after World War II.
Okay.
So, and they did it legally, and they learned the language, and the language is the only thing that we have as a common thread amongst our people. So to accommodate these people with cheap jobs and dilute our workforce, and then all of our government documents are printed in Spanish, that's okay in the sense of the people, but as a policy of a government agency, and certainly from the federal government, I think people need to learn the language. And that is the only thing that makes them really American. If you're not American, if you came from Mexico and you're here speaking Spanish, you want to participate in the you know, the body politic and the machinery of our government. That makes the diversity is what makes us great. So on that note, I can't blame the people for coming here, but I do blame the government for giving them the ability to do it and make it so easy. I mean, come on.
But, yeah, and it seems like the corporations are getting off easy because there are laws, but you know, they're not being held. Their feet are not being held to the fire at all.
Yeah.
With regards to that.
Estoy practicando mi español cuando puedo, pero no sé muchos hombres mexicanos. That's I'm working on my Spanish when I can, but I don't know a lot of Mexican folks.
Oh, that's great. We're coming up on a break here very shortly, Steady. But
okay.
I want to hold you over after the break. Is that going to be okay?
No problem.
Okay.
Holding.
But I wanted to just real briefly. Did you think we'd make it to 30 shows?
As excited as I was and knew that there was someone out there, I was really praying and believing that you would. I didn't know if you actually had the intestinal fortitude to do it. But Bruce, you have, and you are that guy, and I'm even more excited about it today than I was then. So let's roll, baby.
we're gonna keep moving with it. So I've been speaking with Michael Stettler, who is running for Congress in the 24th Congressional District of California and running against an incumbent Republican and running on a peace platform, right, Stett?
Yes.
And so coming into a break here very quickly, but we're going to be carrying this over till after the break. And actually, if you would like to come on board and ask Michael some questions, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366, I believe is the number. Or you can also dial 1-877-4 head on. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You can also send an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org if you want to ask a question that way. But we'd love to hear from you. Michael, you want to take some questions? And we'll be right back. This is Bruce Burt on All Things Reconsidered.
Hello, this is Isaac Hayes. Music and children. Have you ever wondered why young people take to music like fish to water? Maybe it's because music is fun, plain and simple. It offers kids a way to move their bodies and use their voices. It opens up their minds to dream about great dreams about where they can go and what they can do when they get older. As a young boy, I remember. Our kids, American kids, come from more cultures and backgrounds than any nation in history. And sometimes, the most fertile common ground they share is that of music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science. But it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Here's something we really don't need. More anti-union propaganda from the business community. A new group, which is misleadingly called the Center for Union Facts, has just kicked off a national advertising campaign to sully the reputation of unions. It claims that the unions are to blame for plant closings and that the unions have bankrupted the auto companies, for instance. All the unions wanted was decent wages and decent benefits for their members. It wasn't the unions, after all, that told GM and Ford to build SUVs. No, that was management. It wasn't the unions, after all, that resisted the hybrids and let the Japanese corner that market. No, that was management. It wasn't the unions, after all, that resisted every congressional effort to lift the miles per gallon fuel efficiency standards. No, that was management, too. Unions have been taking it on the chin for the past three decades now, with union membership down to a paltry 12.5%. That's not because people don't want to join unions. It's because bosses illegally fire and intimidate people for trying to organize or join unions. So I don't see the need for an anti-union effort right now. Management is already winning. But maybe this is a good sign. Maybe it means that the business community is getting a little scared that finally the sleeping giant that is the labor movement is finally bestirring itself. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright.
All right, this is Bruce Berg. You're back on All Things Reconsidered. And I have on the line with Michael Stettler, who is running for Congress in the 24th Congressional District of California. Mike, what's your website address?
www.stetty.com.
Steady.com. Okay. So if you'd like to visit that website, you can go to www.stetty.com. Fantastic. I think you also have, don't you have another one, or was I confused?
The steady.tv links up and or transfers to the michaelstetler.us.
Okay, so you can also go to michaelstetler.us.
That's correct. That's where you wind up ultimately.
Okay.
But the steady.tv was just something fun. I thought I'd get that. It was available, so I took it. I am available.
I hear you. Okay. Or steady.tv. Okay. All right. Doesn't look like I have anyone on the line with us, but I did want to, you know, continue that conversation. Now,
sure.
This whole thing with the Band of Brothers 2006. Now, you are a veteran, aren't you, Mike?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Now, What is your view of this whole Band of Brothers phenomenon with a bunch of veterans who are now running for Congress on the Democratic side of the aisle? What do you think about that?
Well, as someone who's just a member of a, you know, a local constituency or a congressional district, to look at a body of military, ex-military people who would be opposing the military policy coming from the neocons right now is attractive, would be attractive no matter who they were. Even if they were Republicans, you know, conservatives, to go to anything that would come up against the neoconservative policies at this time is good news. I didn't know, and I still really don't know, who they are or what they come about. I've done a lot of little calling individual candidates, the first six, seven candidates on the top of the list, and it's been a full week now. I've got down to, into, you know, where I think I cut through all the crap. And talking with Mr. Brown, Charlie Brown,
yes,
and I think the guy's genuine. And if I could gauge my work off of, you know, with Mr. Brown and a few of the other candidates, I would say that they're just average Joes. But see, I never expected any of them individually to understand what it is that I'm trying to find out, because nobody believes that anything that has that type of, you know, invisible amalgamating tentacles that control our schools, our churches, our courts, our newspapers, all that stuff, and especially our military folks. I mean, these people are entrenched generations, the old school tie, like I say, that gets passed down. So I'm sketchy on them, because I'm not going to get jacked. I don't want to be blindsided by a political party. I understand who they could be in the bad side, how bad they could possibly be in a sense of, you know, 50 people, freshman congressmen coming into the House as a body. I mean, it'd be as bad as, you know, what we had in 94 when the freshmen were conservatives came in there. We're 12 years later now, and look at what we got. Cancer in our country, our dollar's worth nothing. We got wars going on. This is the contract with America. Okay, we got to change this on principle, folks. I mean,
right.
Take a look at that. Time is really our friend as far as evaluating what this contract of America really was. It was a fight over the spoils of the massive and, you know, just ruthless cuts to public programs.
Speaking I don't know. Did you hear the top of the show where I was talking about some of the concerns that I had about running a lot of veterans for Congress? Did you hear any of that?
Yes, I was in and out. But you know, military people as a body, or let's say, have been indoctrinated into chain of command and taking orders, and really not being, you know, the thinking type.
Well, you're a veteran, though, and you are a thinking type. So, you know, is it possible? I mean, I guess I'm going to put forth the proposition that perhaps some of these guys, you know, I know you mentioned before that some of them had been out of the military for quite a while. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess my only concern is that, you know, we watched the right swift boat John Kerry. We watched them, you know, trash. I'm trying to think of the gentleman, the gentleman from Georgia. Anyway, they also trashed John McCain. I mean, they every veteran, they've been able to successfully really, you know, knock them down pretty hard. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, why is it that the Democrats feel that running veterans is a positive strategy?
I think generally their position on that is, it's not since 1946 has there been such a united body of military people coming against, you know, established administration, specifically military policies. This is a wave of disgust and outrage. It's just overflowing right now. So that is, I think, their official position, that they're coming together because they are, you know, that's what they're saying. Again, I don't want to be critical. I'd love to just jump on the bandwagon and get their sanction, but then all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of this, let's just say, congressional machinery, and if you're a chicken and you don't know what you're standing on principles, you're just going to be used up. but I'm not that person, see. I'll look him right in the eye like little David looked at Goliath and said, I'm going to take your head from you if you're not having, if you don't have anything that binds you to the United States. And that's a tie. That's what my campaign represents. Some heads are going to roll.
Okay.
The Cheney's his first. Luby's going to point him out. When we went into the Reagan, the Nixon administration and, you know, the Halloween massacre in 1975, October 31st, Cheney's been around. He was around at that time. And,
he was.
He's seen this stuff come and go. So, you know, Libby pointed out, I said at that time, that's where I was going, folks. Libby was on trial, and I said, Nixon's counsel told Nixon's staffers at that time, said, you don't go down for these guys, and you point them out. And if you go back through the archives, that's exactly what I said 2 days before the indictment. And there was Libby, in fact, and just the other day now, Libby pointed out Cheney just before the hunting accident. And I know that was had some psychotic effect on him. He's like ruined. He's exposed. He's had the luxury of operating and doing all the strategic planning for these neoconservative policies behind the scenes in the shadows and in the darkness. But the searing lights of the media are exposing him, and that's the best disinfectant for fungus. So he's got to go, bro.
We have a caller on the line, Arbor Tender, who is from the Tom Hartman chat room, is on the line. And Arbor Tender, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Very
fantastic.
Cool.
I understand you have a question to ask Michael Stettler, who is running for Congress in the 24th Congressional District in California.
I do, and we're neighbors, actually. He's not.
Oh, great.
He's not running in my district, but we're very close in Southern California.
Yeah, shouts out to Covina. Hi.
Indeed. So I'm looking over. Mr. Stettler sent me a copy of his policy statement, which is very interesting. And I think he makes a lot of very clear statements here. And I want to ask, since there's not any mention of 9/11 and sort of, you know, the fulcrum nature of that event, I'm wondering where are you going to stand as a representative with respect to sort of disclosure of what the deal is, the big deal, and also with respect to impeachment. As a congressional candidate, I want to know these things from you.
Let's take the impeachment. I've been making it publicly clear that we were on a double impeachment trip this week. Impeachment pie, they were serving impeachment pie in Santa Cruz over 4th of July weekend last year. And in regards to 9/11, the official, you know, 9/11 commission is a nice whitewash, and that's being polite. These people got paid to cover it up, and I cannot believe that the American people swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. If you just look at the people and the evidence that's coming out now, it's absolutely impossible for the things to go down the way that they said. I think it was 53 million to 1 in regards to going down officially. The way the 9/11 commission said that it went down, and they came up with a 1-to-1 probability that there was a deliberate confusion among the security apparatus involving the United States for things to go down the way it did. So as far as your question regarding exposing this stuff, I've made it clear on this show with movies like Inside Iraq, 9/11 in Plain Sight, Beyond Treason, Let's Roll 9/11, that, you know, this stuff has to be discussed.
We're really being soaked in it. We're being soaked in it from a lot of different directions, and I really don't think that if that point is not faced really head on and loud, I mean screaming on street corners, if that point is not faced, we don't ever get past this. Everything else is built on the back of a lie.
I agree. That's, you know, this is the equivalent to our Reichstag fire before Hitler came into power. You know, Aaron Goering had, let's just say, military assets that set the Reichstag, which is the German congressional building, on fire. They use that to implement martial law.
I'm hit.
Yes, and if you look at it, it's almost, you know, it's spooky the way that the similarities between what happened in Germany in 1932 or 1933, I forgot, and what happened on September 11th here, the similarities are striking.
People need to hear what Steady's positions are, and if I could have the honor of reading them, may I really briefly?
Sure.
Okay, here are Steady's positions. Number one, get out of Iraq. Number two, stay out of Iran. Number three, secure pensions. Number four, keep hospitals open. Number five, fortify and reprioritize our commitment to education. Number six, initiate legislation that will stop the use of depleted uranium munitions by all forces of the United States military. Number seven, support a call for a new Bretton Woods conference to secure the confidence of the world in the United States' sovereign ability to repay those who are holding in excess of $1 trillion U.S. treasuries. Number 8A, raise the tax base by repealing tax cuts for persons and entities with annual incomes in excess of $200,000. Number 8B, raise the tax base by creating millions of jobs with newly generated credit by powers derived from major campaign priority number 2 for desperately needed infrastructure projects. By retooling the vital machine tool capacity of our auto industry, coupled with this new credit, we could produce energy, water, sanitation, and high-speed magnetically levitated rail systems for the 21st century here at home, curbing the flow and trend of outsourcing. Continue allowing investigative bodies to ask their questions in regard to all things political while encouraging the active participation of all citizens in the political process. Number 10, and finally, support a woman's right to choice while advising against the practice of abortion and providing ways of escape. I think that's really excellently said, Steady.
Well, thank you. I spent a tremendous amount of time developing the ideas in my mind over years of how that came out on one page, and I call that a policy statement, but in Steady vernacular, it's one page winging it.
You covered a lot of ground there in that paragraph. You covered a lot of ground. But I got to tell you, none of it is going to happen until everybody, well, it isn't even going to take everybody. It's only going to take about 10 or 15% of the population to wake the hell up. Oh, sorry. I guess I could say hell, though.
Yes, you can.
But we need that spirit, Arbor. We need it. We really do. It's a fighting spirit, and we got something to fight for, the greatest nation on earth. And, you know, you see what's happening in the South right now. That stuff can come to your district, folks, and then who's going to stick up for you? Who's the man who's the window to your political assets that they're supposed to take care of the posterity and the survivability and the life expectancy of their population, if you want to put it into political terms? We used to measure it per square mile, per thousand, per county, and we don't do that. It's not part of anyone's thinking at all. So, you know, containing corporate America's ever-increasing intergenerational reach over the affairs of our people and territories is a pretty broad brush, but I think we get the idea that these people have made it clear that they don't care about the actual everyday, you know, hairy homeowner. They're in it for profit. They're a purely profiteering group, and that is their, you know, that is their motherland.
Yeah, none of these people give a flying rat about us. And finally, it comes back to the whole thing that this experiment was supposedly founded upon, which is we the people. It's going to come back to us. I don't know if it's going to come back to rifles or really good writing, but it is going finally to come back to us, just like it was planned.
I think it's going to take all that and a Big Mac.
Well, Arbor, thank you so much for giving us a ring tonight, and I certainly hope he was able to answer all of your questions. I trust he was.
I'm sure I will have more.
Okay.
I love questions.
Michael, I just wanted to come back in and just say that, you know, again, I wanted to also echo what she said, in that your positions are very articulate and are very clear. You have a clear mandate that you've developed for yourself, I believe, to go into Congress and make some changes. Now, I asked you about the undocumented immigration. What do you think is going to be the long-term solution for what happened down in New Orleans?
In a nutshell, my policy statement on a national level, not just for the 24th district here in California. You know, Alexander Hamilton, there are many different arguments on why people do not like Alexander Hamilton. But the historic precedence of American economy is based in a credit system, not free market system. We write off the Wall Street speculative stuff. okay, $400 trillion of gambling debt. Just write it off, man. These people can go do something useful. And then you, like Roosevelt did, you earmark credit. You generate credit from the Treasury, and you direct these credits towards industries that are going to produce all of these infrastructure projects. And in doing that, at this time right now in the United States, we save General Motors and Ford, who are, you know, these corporate fascists are just ready to take these machine tools out of our country. And if we can put the people back to work using these tools and don't let them take them, we can save the industrial capacity of the United States that allowed us to produce the war machine that killed fascism, that stopped Hitler, that, you know, Mussolini. If we don't have those tools, man, you can't produce the logistical capabilities. So as far as the immigrant workers go, we can put all of them back to work and all our citizens back to work. And if people remember during World War II, the braceros were essentially migrant workers from Mexico that came and did all the work in the fields, while most of our men, 15 million in World War II, were, you know, at war, and the women were manning the factories. So the braceros were a body of people who came from Mexico and actually helped the United States do what they did in World War II. I'm not against the people coming here. They're coming here because of economic refugees, and don't believe anything that says otherwise. That is the case. These people can make four times as much money, and there's 10 times as much work in comparison to the United States and Mexico. So NAFTA, CAFTA, all this stuff is nothing but a bunch of jargon that benefits corporate America and displaces workers and makes migrant, you know, people from Mexico and Central America. They're coming from South America here. I mean, I see them in the construction trade, in every trade. There are no more lathers. There are no more drywallers, you know. It's all they're all. I mean, sure. By way of white guys,
sure.
It's all Mexican, and I get to work on my Spanish, and I always tell them in Spanish, you know, voy a ser el presidente de Estados Unidos en 2012. That's I'm going to be president of the United States in 2012, and they laugh and crack jokes, and they, you know, the third, fourth day, the time that they see me, they say, "Hey, el presidente." <You know? laughs>
Well, that's kind of cool. One more question, though. I mean, we're getting up close to the top of the hour, but I wanted to ask you one more thing, and that is, you know, and I had it on the top of my I wanted to, you know, we've had a number of mining accidents.
Uh-huh.
In West Virginia this year, as there are every year, but the, you know, recently also there was a mining accident in Mexico and also one in Canada, and I have a question for you just about what you know if elected, what you would do to sort of help us develop a safer working environment for those folks who are, you know, the backbone of our country.
Well, that's right up my alley, Bruce, because I'm an electrician. And I work in all kinds of varieties where you need shoring when you're, you know, for trenches that are 12 feet deep, when you're doing duct banks and underground footing for buildings that are going to be 20 stories. So as far as miners who go miles deep into the earth, and I don't know, have any experience in mining, but I do know about hazardous conditions and confined spaces, these people need to have all kinds of radio communications and ventilation shafts and plans of escape every single time they go in there. Their equipment needs to be ready, like military equipment, every time it's being used. There were probably many different systems and mechanisms and procedures that were not understood and practiced and drilled upon, that so that when that actual condition comes, they were ready. There should not ever be a situation where people get trapped down there. It's like a lifeline. So as far as implementing policies specific to mining, you know, I'd have to do a tremendous amount of research on that, but I know that you definitely have to increase the communication. The shafts, the distance between air shafts and escape routes would have to be increased. And the reason why those things are not the way they are and people are doing that is because they've been going for so long without any regard for human life. They do not care. It's an expense. It's a calculated expense that they say, well, if we lose 9 miners in this operation, you know, it was even the news was saying, you know, they're calculating that it's cheaper to pay these people off for death benefits than to maintain long-term health care. And that's how they look at it. You're just a number on a spreadsheet and someone's corporate, you know, CPA going over it. That's, And that has got to stop. That's the mindset.
Okay. You know, I got a couple minutes left here with you, but I wanted to also sort of follow up with that. And actually, I just was emailed a question, and the question is, the emailer says that they disagree that all people living here, being in America, should speak English, and that they heard that you know, in the first part of our interview, one of the things that you said was related to that. You want to address that again, or
I would say if they can come up with something that is is easier to bind people together or find a common thread in a nation than their language, by all means, please submit that, because I don't know of one, and we do speak English here in the United States. And I've demonstrated that I've learned to adapt to the Spanish-speaking population, and they become my friends. But as a policy of the federal government, and also seen by people who've come from, and my parents, who came from another nation, they spoke seven different languages amongst them, and English became one of them. That is part of becoming an American. It gives you pride and still stuff and into your soul about, you know, the very fabric of our nation. And whether we ever agree upon that or not, you know, that remains to be seen. But my position is that in America we speak language. It's one of the five international languages, and I cannot think of anything more binding or, you know, bringing people together than our language. And if you look at English, I mean, it's one of the more sophisticated and beautiful languages that you got. I mean, in Chinese, they don't have plural. They don't have past or present. They don't have present tense and no future tense. So, you know, the British threw Shakespeare into the gutter. They didn't want anybody learning that language. The English-speaking American colonies were supposed to be wiped out, folks. English was supposed to be a language of the elite.
Ah, okay. Well, we're getting hard up to the top of the hour. You want to go ahead and give your contact information, and that email, by the way, was from Sarah. Thank you for
Hi,
that email, Sarah.
Thanks.
And so go ahead and give out your contact info, and while we're going out.
Yeah, my phone number is 805-646-3056, 805-646-3056. The website is www.steady.com, TV, sorry, steady.tv, STETTY.tv, and I'm working on the website, and thanks to all those who've checked it out and offered help already. Love you. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on All Things Reconsidered. Michael Stettler for Congress, 24th Congressional District of California. This is Bruce Birch, and this is All Things Reconsidered, and we will be right back.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma, because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just
I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. I'm not surprised that greedy and ambitious people sometimes lie and do far worse than lie in order to get what they want. In their minds, the ends really do justify the means, and not only are they not ashamed of it, they're proud of it. It shows that they're people who can get things done. That's why so many of these people admire football. They see it as a microcosm of the real world, where the right combination of talent and teamwork equals success. But football is a sport where people are expected to play and win by the rules of the game. And while both players and fans will tolerate a limited amount of going around the rules or using them to your advantage, we wouldn't praise a team if they intentionally set out to injure their opponents or bribe the officials. No decent sports fan wants his or her team to win under such circumstances, and players know that if they go out to injure other players, they face retaliation. So why then do we tolerate this kind of extreme behavior from our political leaders? Certainly who wins and loses in politics has a lot more bearing on our lives than who wins the Super Bowl. The real problem is that what's happening in Washington is just a charade, a circus to keep us distracted while our freedom and our money is being stolen from right under our noses, behind the scenes and away from public view. That's why an independent press, along with an open government, are so important, because it's behind these closed doors where the rules are broken and the results are rigged. And when that happens, everyone loses. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
This is Bruce Birch with All Things Reconsidered. Glad to be back with you tonight. In the first hour, we had... This is our second hour, by the way. In the first hour, we had Michael Stettler from the 24th Congressional District of California, who was on with us and for a good part of that program, but a good part of that hour. And he covered a lot of different topics. Now, you can go and visit his website by going to michaelstettler.us, and that's Michael spelled the way Michael is spelled. Stettler with two T's, Stettler.us, michaelstettler.us. And he is running as a Democrat, and I'm sure that he could use your support. He is running against an incumbent Republican there in the 24th Congressional District. Tripping over my words tonight a little bit. So if you're interested in supporting his campaign, check out his website, drop him an email, give him a telephone call. I'm sure that he would love to hear from you. Here on All Things Reconsidered, we are in the midst of a fundraising drive. So if you weren't here at the top of the hour and you are here now, if you are interested in helping support this program, you can do that by visiting our website, allthingsreconsidered.org. click on the donate button down on the left-hand side, and it'll take you right to the page where it'll tell you what we're doing and why it would be a good thing to help support this program. So if you're interested in doing that, you can do that. This is our 30th program, by the way. Let's see. We're going to shift gears a little bit. Although I did get an email over the break that I wanted to read. This is from the person's name, or at least the email I'm just going to put the first initial. It's VA. And the email reads, I think it is important to know every candidate's views on a whole range of issues, not just the war alone. Making the fighting Dems into one issue, into one issue candidates makes them very vulnerable politically, and in the end will keep the progressive movement in a reactionary mode slash stance and not have wide appeal as a movement with viable ideas. This person is saying that basically, you know, making the fighting Dems into one issue candidates makes them very vulnerable politically, and in the end will keep the progressive movement in a reactionary mode and not have wide appeal as a movement with viable ideas. Thank you for that email. You can call into the radio program by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. You can also send an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. Lots of stuff's been going on this week, not the least of which is the fact that we have had a dearth of Dick Cheney related stuff. But I just, you know, before we get too far into this segment, there's a certain song that I wanted. I just got a kick out of it, and I really want you to check this one out. If you haven't heard this, you've got to hear this song. Bob, if you want to roll clip one, please do so.
Well, I'm deeply sorry, what's wrong with me? I put my face between a bird and Dick Cheney. Accidents will happen and I should have ducked. I'm in love. I'm all shot up. Oh, well, my face is bloody, looking like Swiss cheese. Bird shots flying every time I sneeze. Who do you think of when you have such luck? The VP. I'm all shot up. Well, the press just asked me what's on my mind. I've been shot and had a heart attack and feeling fine. When I'm near the dick that I love best, I'll be wearing a bulletproof vest. Well, I'm sorry for the trouble that my dick went through, but he can shoot me anytime that he wants to. I'm proud to say he's my vice president. I'm in love. I'm all shot up.
Oh, that's great. That's by a gentleman named Paul Hipp, by the way. And just Google Paul Hipp and All Shut Up, and I'm sure that you can find that. Oh, my goodness. You know, I found that, and I just thought it was just entirely funny enough that we had to play it here. I know that you know, everyone has done Cheney to death, and I'm not gonna do too much of that tonight. But I did have some interesting audio from Bill Maher's show the other night, Real Time with Bill Maher, and he had some interesting things to say about the wiretapping, and I'm really beginning to, he had Russ Feingold on, and I was really beginning to, like this gentleman quite a bit. Bob, if you can, if you would run clip number six, I would appreciate it.
literally, this is the gang that can't shoot straight, as was proved this week. Here's a group in this White House that is, here's a group in this White House that couldn't catch Osama bin Laden, that can't get al-Zarqawi. For the second time, the people that blew up the USS Cole have escaped in Yemen. They are focusing on Iraq to the exclusion of 59 other countries where al-Qaeda is attacking, and now they want to have a country that may be of questionable contacts in terms of this issue of al-Qaeda actually taking care of our port security. The fact is that we are the party, the Democrats, who are more likely to do a good job of fighting this terrorism fight correctly. It is this administration that's messed it up.
All right. You know, some very strong statements, but we'll get to back to some of those. But I also have a caller on line one. Spike from Easton, PA, is on line one. Spike, how you doing?
Hey, Gonzo Greeting.
Greetings to you, man.
Who was that person you just put the clip of?
That was Russ Feingold.
Russ Feingold, okay. Yeah, I just getting on the line, I missed specifically who that was. I wasn't sure who that was talking there. You would think I would have called you as soon as that whole Cheney thing hit the fan, but I had other things going on that made it tough for me to call last week. Oh my God, that's both extremely pathetic and, in a way, strangely humorous to those of us dark enough to find that humor in something that stupid.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone else would have done that, my lord. But, you know, Dick Cheney, it instantly seems suspicious when Dick Cheney was involved. If George Bush was involved, everyone just would have said he's an idiot. But instantly there was that level of suspicion with Dick Cheney, like, ooh, maybe he's trying to actually kill somebody.
I know, it's just, you know, well, that's the kind of reputation he's developed, I think. I mean, he's developed this reputation of being this this mean, crotchety, you know, I mean, when he did on the Senate floor and told, I think it was Pat Leahy, told him to, yep. You know, go F himself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is the kind of attitude that he has developed. And so if you develop the persona of being the badass, then that's who you are. I mean, that's how people are going to see you.
Yeah. Well, it's certain levels, I guess, of badass. I certainly am guilty of. I believe I yelled some obscenities at somebody today in public because they kept honking their horn, and finally I yelled some nasty things at them, and they stopped honking the horn. But the deceit that he does is certainly what would bring something like that. I kept making a joke all week. You know, Nixon had G. Gordon Liddy, Reagan had Ollie North, and Cheney has himself. Yeah, he's. Liddy and North rolled up into one evil animal or human-killing droid, as John Stewart, I believe, calls them.
Yeah, and even on David Letterman this week, I think they were, he had spliced together some video clips of him that's basically saying, "I am a killer." I have killed hundreds of people.
Well, the Monday after, David Letterman had Biff, his stagehand, walking around dressed like Elmer Fudd, shooting into the lights, and they were dropping dummies dressed like hunters down onto the floor.
Who was this now?
This was on Letterman Monday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the guy kept saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was a bird." David Letterman certainly makes no bones about it, I think, where he stands with this administration and some of their more rabid followers like Bill O'Reilly, it seems. And, you know, hats off to him. Why he's David Letterman, I guess.
That was kind of interesting because on our show last Sunday night, that was one of the things that we were doing, too, was using Yosemite Sam clips.
Yeah, and the gun sounds.
So what's been going on with you? Any what's shaking? What's on your mind tonight?
I think that's great about Mike running for Congress out there. Certainly, he's a pretty sharp guy. Likes to have fun too. You know, which so did our president, but I think Michael's a little more responsible than him. I like his platform. I also especially like how he addressed illegal immigration. This is certainly an issue from many, many aspects of the problem, for many different reasons causing it. And I'm going to sound like a little bit of a jerk here, but in all actuality, there's the one thing you actually could blame on Bill Clinton. They like to blame things that he has nothing to do. You know, 9/11 he had nothing to do. All these other things he had nothing to do with. But in a way, when he passed NAFTA, he more or less created the, what snowballed into the race to the bottom, and Mexico basically raced over to this side of the border in a way, because it really ruined their economy, especially because the companies went further south than them because they could go even cheaper than Mexico. And in Easton, there's a lot of Mexicans in Easton. I mean, these guys, they'll work $8 an hour jobs, you know, not even $10, you know, a lot of minimum wage. And the funny thing is, you know, a lot of them, they kind of, by American standards, they live rough. You know, a lot of them in a very small place of occupancy. But the biggest thing is a lot of them will send money back to, like, their home nations to support them, which really shows just how crumbled these economies are becoming to globalization.
Sure.
And it's an issue that everyone scoffed at back then when they passed it. Oh, don't worry, that's old naysayer, you know. Buchanan and Nader, they're fringe lunatics. You know, let's overlook the fact those two happen to be agreeing on a subject as polar opposites as they are. And it turns out to be, you know, the people like them and, you know, Jerry Brown, all those people that spoke out about, you know, North American Free Trade Agreement, globalization, it's really turned out to be a disaster. And worst of all, it's really creating almost the second coming of the Communist Manifesto. I mean, what it's creating is it's going to create the radicalization that the Communist Manifesto kind of, you know, and certain aspects of socialism, communism, certain of them aspects were kind of bad. But it's scary. You know, you read the book of the American Socialist Party 100 years ago, and what they're talking about 100 years ago, it's happening again.
Well, you know, the direction of the robber barons has happened.
Yeah.
I know we're about to take a break here. Spike, you want to hang over to the after the break?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right, you're listening to All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
How can we help prepare our kids for the future? Hi, this is Roger McGuinn. These days, our children face challenges unimaginable to us only a generation ago. We adults need to help our kids find something in school that really sparks their interest and keeps them involved. If that something happens to be music, the child will benefit in so many ways. Playing music in school is a great way to make friends, Studies are showing that kids involved in music are less likely to get into trouble, and kids who studied music find science and math easier to grasp. They tend to score higher on SATs. It has something to do with something called spatial IQ. So get your kids involved with school music. It's a great way to help prepare them for life.
A PSA brought to you by MEMC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
All right, you're back with Bruce Burch on All Things Reconsidered. We have Spike still on the line with us. Spike, what else was on your mind this evening?
It kind of continues with the whole globalization thing a little bit in a way. I was watching Deutsche Welle, the German news outlet, late last night. Luckily, in the Commonwealth of PA, our version of C-SPAN.
Okay.
Deutsche Welle at night, you know, 1 hour in German, 1 hour in English, and, you know, it keeps alternating like that.
Oh, and, cool.
It's really cool to see at night, to be honest with you, because it's better news than any cable news. And there's a huge strike going on in Germany. What I found interesting is it's the public sector workers, and it's basically they're more or less almost bringing Germany to a stop in a way, because they want to make the people in the public sector work more than 39 hours a week. Which I found interesting. Germans work 39 hours a week, not 40 hours a week. And in a way, the Germans, that's really, even as conservative as some of them might be, when it comes to labor, social issues like that, healthcare, they've been very, very, I guess you could say, progressive. And right now there's a right-wing movement to blow that all away. And the Germans are really infuriated and fighting it over there. And what I really get a kick out of is things like the average German gets like 29 days paid vacation a year plus I guess a few holidays also. And you know, in America, you know, you got to bust your rear end to get 2 weeks, you know, put in years to get 2 weeks paid vacation at jobs if you ever even can get that. But the simple fact I found the most intriguing is when they asked Germans who were being affected by it when they were trying to get stuff, you know, at the hospital, this and that, how they felt. They all kept saying the same thing, is they should be happy they at least have jobs, which is funny. We always hear that here. And here it is all the way out in Germany, and the translation's telling us the exact same line is, oh, they should be happy they have jobs. You know, and one of them made a point of saying they should be happy they have jobs, you know, with 5 million people unemployed here.
Sure.
And it just kind of cracks me up in a way that it seems that no matter what country or language it is, the right wing is instilling this at least they have a job mentality, like we should be enthusiastic that they're going to treat us like dirt, but at least they'll be giving us pennies.
In the other show that I do, Spike, Fourth Estate Radio, one of the things that we do is sort of look at the right, how the right, you know, the tenets of the conservative parties around the world are very similar.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if there is some communication, some orchestration, some collaboration between different countries and the conservative wings of each party, you know. And I guess it's kind of like you're saying in Germany, you know. I mean, I would say the same thing holds true with Australia as well. I mean, you know, just. So yeah, there is a common thread there. I think that when you get to watch some of the international news, or if you read some of the international newspapers, you see how similar those same stories. Now on the left, I don't know that it's there doesn't seem to be as a coordinated an effort with policies, but on the right there sure does seem to be.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people say, you know, if you look at the Democrats, you know, they allow the differences of opinions, the almost infighting, where the Republicans, look at John McCain. There's no better example of you must get in line and do as we say than John McCain. Here's a guy who at one point went on The Daily Show and more or less came out and said, I don't like George W. Bush, but I have to say I like him. I mean, he made all these jokes about how horrible Bush was, and then when John Stewart at the end says, so who are you going to vote for? He goes, oh, Bush, of course, and laughs. Which is, as you know, as close as he, you know, because career politicians, they can't say certain stuff certain times. They say all these things, and there was a perfect example where he was more or less winking his eye, like, yeah, wink, wink, he's an idiot, but I have to support him because I'm in the Republican Party. I'm not allowed to have a difference of opinion, you know, and certainly they're really good at keeping people going along, which probably explain why the guys with your Full Metal Jacket, USMC buzz cut haircuts, the vote Republican more, you know, the people that just kind of, they're your Stepford mentality, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's the control mentality. So there are certain segments, I believe, of the population that want to be told what to do, when to do it, you know, how to do it, you name it. Speaking along those lines, you know, I read an interesting article in Newsweek today that was the current issue of Newsweek, and it was an editorial actually by Mort Zuckerman, who's
okay.
The editor in chief there. And one of the things that he was talking about in that article was how he was calling for this grand return to centrism. Now, I'm not one of those people that believes that centrism is a very good thing. Okay? Primarily because, you know, centrism, you know, you have extremes in every, you know, all along the political spectrum, right? But
oh, God, yeah.
But what has happened over the last probably, 20 years, 30 years maybe, is this constant drag to the right. The center has gone so far to the right now that I bet, you know, if we were to really look at it, I would venture to guess that the political norm of the country right now is probably about, is probably about where the far right wing was during Richard Nixon's term in power.
Yeah, well, and I love how rabid some people to this day still are over good old Tricky Dick. Just the brainwashing loyal mentality. Certainly, people hate this, but there's a good example. Dick Nixon and was it the SS and their sworn loyalty to Adolf the Führer, and you know, you got the same thing out of those Liddies and those types, and we're getting them out of your Rovesk types also these days with Cheney, Bush. I mean, you know, look how carried away people got in this country. I mean, carried people were getting a little carried away, you know, ripping and destroying Bush stuff, but you know, in Toby Hanna, there was someone going around and like with a razor cutting up all the Kerry Edwards lawn signs on the ground, destroying them.
Well, that happened here also, and I think that there must have been some sort of nudge, wink, wink agreement, a word of mouth thing that was passed down about doing that, because it seemed to happen all over the country.
Oh well, I'm sure Joseph Stalin would have approved of those tactics himself, and I've long made the argument that we shouldn't compare this administration to the Nazis.
Now there you go, bringing up Stalin. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think Stalinist communism. I mean, the Homeland Security is a centrally run organization in a similar manner to the KGB. Certainly, the disaster in Katrina looks something like Chernobyl or some sort of Russian communism disaster that took place. And that's really what we were given with this Bush administration. They brought us to Stalinism. Slowly but surely.
Absolutely. Well, we're hammering up against the bottom of the hour with the break. And Spike, thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate taking your phone call.
No problem. Thank you.
And we'll be right back. This is Bruce Burch with All Things Reconsidered. If you want to get on the program, you can do so by calling 1-877-443-2366.
support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
So,
who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Without a doubt, Dick Cheney is the single most unaccountable vice president in modern U.S. history. He believes he owes the American people nothing, even though they elected him, sort of. He believes he owes Congress nothing, and so he keeps documents about the administration's energy commission, which he headed, to himself. He believes he owes the Fourth Estate nothing, as he almost never holds press conferences and doesn't even notify reporters of his schedule some of the time. He says he's got a constituency of one, and that's the president. But Cheney even leaves Bush in the dark, as he did after the hunting accident. I'm not surprised by that. Cheney treats Bush like the incompetent kid who just inherited the family business. The less he knows, the better. Cheney's even gone behind the president's back to reverse a policy decision that Bush himself had already made. Face it, Cheney has served as the de facto president for 5 years now. Bush is just his official spokesperson. And then to see Cheney finally surface on Fox News, what a shock that was. Cheney has practically done promos for Fox, calling it the most accurate and reliable news outlet in the country. So he goes on Brit Hume's show for damage control, and Brit Hume favors him with such tough questions as, I take it you missed the bird. No kidding. It's right there in the Fox transcript. Real hard-hitting questions. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see it.
On All Things Reconsidered, and this is Sunday night. It's about 34 minutes past the hour here on All Things Reconsidered, brought to you by the fine folks at Head On Radio Network in the wilds of West Virginia. I almost said it again. West by God, Virginia, whatever. The lines are wide open, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. Always wanting to accept your email there. You're more than welcome to send me an email anytime. Doesn't have to be during the show. I'd love to hear from you, have a conversation with you, because that's what this is about. It's about conversation radio, trying to reconsider some things, because I think there's, you know, there've been some decisions made over the last 5 years that definitely need to be reconsidered. You know, the last caller, you know, Spike, my friend from Easton, PA, he's a frequent caller to our program, and you know, he touched on a lot of interesting things. The Department of Homeland Security is set up on the SS model. But the reality is that there are in each county, I want to say each large population, there are Department of Homeland Security officers now, from what I'm understanding. And actually, I have an article that I'll get to here very shortly that pertains to that. Here in Greensboro recently, we had one of the police officers videotaping license tags after, you know, at a rally that was an anti-Bush rally. And, you know, what we've come to understand is that he's the anti-terrorism expert, which here in this city. So it's kind of interesting if you think about it. You know, do we have employees of Homeland Security in every city that are basically, for lack of a better term, the secret police? I think it's something that requires a little bit of investigation, and I'll try to do my best to look into that. We do have Peter on line one. Peter, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Bruce. How are you doing tonight? Great show.
I'm doing fantastic. Well, thank you. Thank you.
You had some wonderful callers. That was great news from Steady and Spike and Armatender. I'll tell you, you got some great folks calling in. I just wanted to tell you what really upset me this morning. I made the mistake of watching the Talking Heads this morning on the
propaganda fed. They were catapulting the propaganda rather well today, weren't they?
Dear Lord, you know, the man George Will, you just want to reach up and pinch his head off. Just such an evil troll. You know, this morning they were doing a roundtable bit, and they had the executive director of The Nation magazine, and I'm sorry I've forgotten her name. Do you know her name off the top of your head?
The editor of the Nation?
The Nation, yeah.
Yeah, that's Katrina Vandenheuvel.
Okay, she was there, and I believe the other, it was Cokie Roberts, and there was George Will. Okay, well, the editor of The Nation was doing a great job presenting what, you know, villainous fools the Republican Party is, and of course George Wills was sitting there rolling his eyes. But he said something that is absolutely so revealing of the entire Republican mindset, and it came up and when she was talking about judging people by their actions. You were talking about the Bush administration and what's going in Iran and various leaders to sit back and look at their actions as opposed to their words, what they're saying. And George Will pops up just as quickly as you please and inserts this incredibly stupid remark, which went unchallenged. And his remark was, words are deeds. Okay.
Words are deeds?
Words are deeds. And, you know, that really sums up the whole damn thing. You know, these people think they can get up and say anything, and that makes it a deed. They don't have to, you know, Bruce, what if I said, okay, Bruce, I just punched your lights out. Okay, did I do it? I mean, are you hurting? You know what I'm saying? Even if we're sitting in the same room, words are not deeds. Even in the Bible, it goes back as far, you know, thousands of years. It makes it quite clear that words are not deeds, and I won't go chapter and verse there, but you know, it really has just hung on my mind all day long, the audacity of that remark, the outright audacity of someone just to actually voice something as sophomoric. And can you think of any possible way to say that words are deeds? I mean, it defies every grain of logic I have left. And, you know, I do have a little left. And, you know, it's just these people, they're all always ready to slip in some sort of asinine quip That,
yeah, and they've been trained to think in sound bites, Peter. You know, every day they send out these talking points, they fax them out, you know, around the country. This is what you were supposed to talk about today. And what ends up happening is that over a period of time, when you're, you know, being told to use talking points all the time, that they begin to think in talking points, and then they start to talk in these little quips, and it's like it makes no sense. And you know what? I there's been so many times that I've listened to either those talk shows. I try to just like I can barely stomach listening to them afterwards, you know, from Crooks and Liars or something. But listening to them, and you can hear, it's like there's certain sentences that they'll say that have nothing to do with the subject matter. You know, and it's like you hear it slipped in there, and I can't help but think that sometimes it's like there's a some sort of I guess it's neuro-linguistic programming or something where they're trying to while they're talking about one thing, they're trying to put across another idea.
I see what you're saying, and the tone that was used was condescending, it really just rubbed me the wrong way, and the whole point of it was to dismiss the woman from the Nation as being complete, having no grasp of what reality is. And words or deeds, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie, and it goes on and on. All of us have a 30 quotes we can pop into our heads just as quickly as you please, where words are deeds. And I just caught it as a huge snapshot today of the Republican mindset. It just really pissed me off. I'm sorry.
Well, it's fine. I think it takes us time. You know, we have to, in order to feel motivated and want to do anything about anything that's going on, we have to have, we have to create some I don't want to say animosity, but some angst about it, at the very least.
Yeah.
Being upset. But anything else you want to talk about this evening?
No, I'm just so pleased though that Steady is actually Steady is actually not just speaking words. He's doing the deeds now, and that's a good example. I'm just so pleased with what he's doing, and I'm also pleased with what's going on with the show and the new world's most fabulous liberal network. I think this is a great idea. who knew it was going to turn into this? Do you remember the very early days when you first started the show?
Yes, I do. I wince when I think about it. But
and
yeah.
The sound was all like all staticky and awful. You remember? Go back to like the very like show 1 and 2 on the White Rose Archives. You'll be horrified. I mean, the difference is amazing.
I've been thinking about doing some revisionist history and trying to clean that audio up. But I thought, that's what the right wing would do. Now we want to leave it up, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just leave it like it is. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I'm all for the fundraiser and folks helping out that, because I think we're at the beginning of something huge. And that we had a gentleman in the chat room the other night that was pointing out that there were other independent liberal talk networks. I think he mentioned Pacifica and maybe a couple of others, but they're kind of far flung. I mean, they're difficult to find, and it seems like the scheduling is a little bit erratic. And this just has a whole different feel to it. I'm not to diminish what Pacifica is doing. Not hell no. Those, it's great stuff, and I hope they come on board with you guys.
Well, and we're working on that. I think it's going to take a lot of work. And guys like you calling in and making this show what it is has kept us going. And we definitely appreciate it, Peter, and everything that you've done. With all of the shows.
What I can do whenever I can do it. I just fill in. But it's only because I believe in what you're doing. And I would have dropped you like a hot rock a long time ago if I just, there was something, it was kind of a heart thing. I just think that, there's just something right about what you guys are doing, and it just feels right. And
well, you know, when you're coming from a place of love and trying to create a different conversation, and trying to, you know, it's my mind that if you come in with the right motive, then only good things can happen.
Well, you're right.
You know?
You're right. Well, best of luck to you and the little zappers this week.
Thanks. I'll pass that along to the little zappers.
Yeah, give the little zappers a hug. And I'll see you later, Bruce.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a great week, Peter. Talk to you soon.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was my friend Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. And Peter is a frequent call to our program and is a wonderful supporter of All Things Reconsidered. So thanks a lot for calling in, Peter. I'm looking at something where we have I was in the chat room. My friend Ben Birch, who is the proprietor of White Rose Society, says, Bruce, I was commenting about how some of the early shows were pretty ugly. You know, he says, Bruce, that's only because you got your microphone from a Cracker Jack box back then. You're right. That's exactly what happened. We're coming into a break here very quickly, and so you are listening to All Things Reconsidered. If you want to get on the program, we got a few more minutes left. You can call 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And we'll be right back. This is Bruce Birch with All Things Reconsidered.
Boys, I ain't broke. I'm better than Ben. Well, everybody loves him. Dead president. A little bit of Lincoln can park your car. Washington, he can't go too far. Jefferson is good. Play the track. If you want to bring some big bucks back, them dead presidents. Dead president. Boys, I ain't broke. I'm better than Ben. Well, everybody loves him. Dead president. Now, Hamilton on a 10 is really great. Jackson on a 20 can get you straight. And if you're talking about a poor man's friend, Grant will get you out of whatever you're in. Them dead presidents. Oh, them dead presidents.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday nights, 7 to 10.
Head on.
On last week's Fourth Estate Radio, Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Daylight come and me want go. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and we want go.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we want go.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and we want go.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
All right, you're back with Bruce Birch
on
All Things Reconsidered. I love it. Banana Boat song there. And, you know, thanks, Peter, for calling in. I really appreciate every time that he calls in. He's such a wonderful supporter of the program. Before we get out of here tonight, we got about 9 minutes to the top of the hour. I want to run a speech that Harry Belafonte gave recently. And this speech was at the Bush Crimes Commission hearing on January 20th in New York. So, Bob, if you want to go ahead and run that.
Thank you very much. I would like to first of all express my great sense of privilege and opportunity to be part of this evening's part of this evening's tribunal and what we will be seeing and hearing. I'd like to also extend my respects to the panel and to the tasks that you have before you and what we will be hearing. It is most fortuitous that this should be taking place at the end of a week of celebration of the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. This nation has never, ever produced a greater citizen who stood and still stands for the principles for why we are all gathered here. The pursuit of justice, the pursuit of human rights, the pursuit of human dignity. Theodore Roosevelt once said that when the powers of state, having been mandated to reach out and to protect the interests of the people, begin to usurp the Constitution and undermine our laws, that it is the responsibility of citizens to rise up and to speak against this process and to, in fact, insist upon the changing of the guard, the changing of regime. And those citizens who failed to hear that call should, in fact, be charged with patriotic treason. I think none gathered here this evening can be so charged. It is important that when all of the instruments of governance collapses, that we go in the final hour to the most important line of battle, the people themselves. The people of this nation, I think, and I know, are awake and are being more awakened every day. They're hearing and sensing the danger that sits on the horizon. Looking at the international oppressions that we are a part of, looking at how we have violated international humanity and law, will one day this tribunal, I hope, reach out and in its investigation look at the oppression and the illegal experiences that people in this nation are experiencing themselves. On 9/11, we were all stunned by the tragic events that took place when the Twin Towers collapsed and this terrorism was put upon our people. 2,000 lost their lives, 2,000 who were innocent, 2,000 who did not cause war. And we said they are terrorists, that we should hunt them down and bring them to justice. Tell me, where for you does the line blur? When a nation as powerful as this, the most powerful in the history of human existence, and those who have dubiously come to power and who are reigning over the will of this nation, when they lie and mislead the citizens of this country, when they put before us fear and then govern by terrorism, where does the line blur for you when our sons and daughters are sent to die in foreign battlefields, and each day reclaim the lives of tens of thousands of innocent men, women, and children in other places? Where for you does terrorism end, and where does it begin, and who are the terrorists? Those who would choose to detract the real meaning of this tribunal, the real meaning of this people's moment, would suggest to you that we are somehow, perhaps, irrelevant. Well, I guess Paul Revere was considered at one point irrelevant when he called for the alarm against the Redcoats. I know very well that in the beginning, Dr. Martin Luther King was considered irrelevant. I know that so many who have called to the awakening of our citizens to look at what is happening to us and to seize our rights to put us back into democratic governance. Always in the beginning, we are minimalized, marginalized, and relegated to the dustbins of history. We have prevailed before, and we will prevail again. I am honored to be a part of this process. Anything that I can do to help broaden its base, to broaden its inquiry, and to help save the soul of our nation, I welcome the opportunity, and I will so serve.
And that was Harry Belafonte speaking at the Bush Crimes Commission in New York. We were right up at the top of the hour, and I wanted to play this clip just because I really wanted you all to hear some of the things that I try to listen to give me strength and courage and fortitude to take on the rabid right wing, as I do every week. You've been listening to All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch. If you'd like to visit our program, you can do so by going to allthingsreconsidered.org. We have a fundraiser going on now, and if you'd like to contribute, we sure could use the support. So until next week, thank you for allowing me into your home, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. This has been Bruce Birch, and this has been All Things Reconsidered.
It was a time I'll always remember, I could never forget, how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. And when the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. And somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution.